But he doesn't love me, Violet.
Of course he does.
Oh, how could he? We were married off because our pedigree matched, like dogs. If I could give him a child, it might be different, but I can't.
He stole my wife, Finn!
You weren't married to Cora, remember?
Then her fiendish family forced the poor child to marry Panty, Panty, Pettifogging Palliser, who is dull as death.
Do you remember how happy we were together?
Yes, of course.
Has Palliser ever made you happy?
No.
Has he ever loved you as I did? Could he ever love you as I will?
No.
My wife looks rather tired, Mr. Fitzgerald. I think she should retire. Cora, this way, please.
Leave it, Burgo.
Cora!
Don't be a bloody fool.
The Pallisers, dramatised by Mike Harris, based on the novels by Anthony Trollope.
The disadvantages of death are well known. Its advantages, less so. If you are untimely dead, you constantly review your own past, going wherever your living self once went, watching with hindsight what she once did or didn't do. The problem is you can't stop yourself doing it, and you can't do anything about what you see. You're condemned to wander through time, watching yourself and your friends make the same mistakes over and over again. Only a few days have passed since I last spoke to you. It is still the 1860s, and my husband, Plantagenet Palliser, has just given up the chance of being foreign minister in order to take my 19-year-old younger self to the continent to get me away from the handsome but dangerous Burgo Fitzgerald, with whom I had just attempted to run away. Meanwhile, thanks to Palliser, Phineas Finn has become a junior minister at the Colonial Office, where he is about to have a difficult meeting.
Ah, Kennedy, good morning.
Oh, good morning, me, Finn. And it's Foreign Secretary to you. Where's your whiskey?
In the cupboard there, sir.
And don't sir me either. We both know exactly why you're here.
To serve our country, I hope.
Because you voted the right way in the reform debate.
I've always been in favour of working men getting the vote.
But more than the PM and Palliser wanted. Not to mention me, who didn't want any. Where the hell are your glasses?
Sorry, here.
Which is why they bought you off with this job and a safe seat. And why you ratted on your radical friends, yes?
I must say, I rather resent that, sir.
Well, resent away. Not that it did Palliser any good, eh? I just got his so-called compromise bill kicked back by the Lords, and now the PM's struggling to keep our radicals on side. Cause for celebration or what? You know what I did when he reshuffled me from the Exchequer to the FO?
No.
I went straight to the Colonial Secretary and told him I thought you were unfit for public office.
You are joking.
Of course, dear boy. Besides, he says it was out of his hand since you'd been thrust on him by the PM. So I went to Gresham, but he wouldn't budge because he'd promised Palliser, damn him.
Is this purely a social visit or was there...
Well, what's he given you to do? Rajasthan, Burma, the Falklands. Where the hell are the Falklands?
No idea. I'm dealing with Canada just now.
What's that to deal with? It's empty and tedious.
There are business people who want to secede to the United States.
Are they mad? Well, thank God the FO doesn't deal with the colonies. My God, Irish whiskey is foul. Thank God to go.
Was there anything you came to see me about, sir?
Yes. I want you to come to my house tonight.
Ah, I'm afraid I have an engagement.
Tomorrow night, then, 8 o'clock. Okay.
Social or business?
It's about my wife, Finn. I assume you're still seeing her.
But he isn't. Because Robert Kennedy's wife, Violet, decided the best way of escaping her husband was to run off to the continent with Palliser and my younger self, where, because I blamed her for thwarting my elopement with Burgo Fitzgerald, she is not having a good time.
Well, Cora, that was an interesting crossing.
Why do they make boats so nasty?
I think the stormy sea was the cause of your discomfort, my dear, not the boat.
Porter?
Don't blame the poor sea. I think they make their boats horrid on purpose.
I think it would be difficult to make anything nice in a storm.
Why do you always take Planty's side, Violet?
I don't.
You're supposed to be my travelling friend, not his. Ugh. Well, come on then. Let's hope Paris is less beastly than this boat.
Meanwhile, Finn has taken his office troubles to a meal with Madame Marie Gersler.
Just leave the bottle on the table, please, waiter.
Who is a beautiful, widowed political exile from Bohemia, who I had foolishly introduced to London society. something I was soon to bitterly regret.
So, Phineas, you have absolutely no idea why Kennedy wants to talk to you?
No idea whatsoever, Marie.
But just now we are watching Madame leaping into the violet-shaped void left in Finn's life.
Could it be that he still thinks you're the reason his wife left him?
He was the reason she left. He married a clever, politically obsessed woman, tried to keep her locked up at home, and then wouldn't so much as discuss politics with her.
Which you did?
Yes.
Every day?
Not every day.
In secret?
But only because...
She was clever and beautiful?
She was my political advisor, which had nothing to do with...
You wanted to marry her?
I didn't.
Before Kennedy beat you to it, I mean.
No, yes. I mean, that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Then it's astonishing that he could even think of being jealous, Phineas. More wine? You seem to need it.
Please. So why do you think he wants to see me?
To kill you? Why couldn't we stay in Paris?
You know why, Cora.
And I'd already booked for Nice.
And so?
It was planned.
And?
I like to have a plan.
So do I.
Good.
Only for the sake of not keeping it.
Cora, working people depend on our plans for their living. Coachmen, servants, porters. Do you have a pencil, Violet?
Yes, of course. What are you noting down?
Something from Le Figaro.
What's it about?
The number of female operatives employed in French textile factories.
Oh, of course, silly me. How many plenty?
150,000. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd better order luncheon from the restaurant car.
Oh, they're catching up to us. Extraordinary.
Isn't it?
Extraordinary boring, don't you mean, Violet?
We find different things interesting. I like to know about local conditions.
Then you should have married him. You could write everything down for him.
I was like a child being dragged abroad rather than a young woman who had freely agreed to go. I treated Palliser as if it was he, not I, who had been unfaithful. As if it was me and not Palliser who had turned down the post of Foreign Secretary in order to save our marriage.
So, Finn, when did you last see my wife?
I've not seen Mrs. Kennedy since the Palliser's ball.
You think she had cause to leave me?
That's not for me to say.
There were things I didn't like about her behaviour. Surely a wife should listen to words of caution from her husband.
I expect they never like it.
She was missing church, associating with the wrong people, dabbling in politics, reading French novels.
Well, times are changing.
She accepted me for better or worse, and she promised to obey. And it would be perfectly legal to force her back. But I don't want to. Yet. But she doesn't reply to my letters, so I need you to take a message.
I think she's abroad.
What? Where on earth has she gone?
I don't know.
On her own?
With the Pallisers, I believe.
Damn them to hell. Well, I'm the Foreign Secretary, so I'll find an excuse for you to go after them.
And what exactly might you want me to say?
Tell her that she must come back and submit to the laws of God and man.
The problem is...
What?
I don't think...
What?
Would it be professional?
Was it professional to meet my wife in secret every day in Parliament?
She was attending the debates.
And seeing you afterwards. Don't deny it. I had you followed.
We were discussing politics.
Not what that gutter snipe Slide suggested in his filthy rag.
No, Slide has a grudge against me.
That doesn't make his allegations false.
Kennedy, at no point did anything untoward occur between me and your...
Good God! Let me make this perfectly clear, Finn. You can take the message to my wife, or you can take a bullet in your brain. Please choose.
I think you should put that down, Foreign Secretary.
Why?
Because it's ridiculous.
You've made me ridiculous, Finn. The world is laughing at me.
No one is laughing at you, sir. And if that thing is loaded, I would seriously advise you to... Oh, my God!
That was your warning. So what's it to be? Take my message or have your heat blown off?
Neither, sir. I am going to leave this room very slowly. Jesus!
Here!
Why is every second person in Nice English, Violet?
The weather?
Well, lots of places have weather.
It's been like that since the last century.
Well, I don't see the point of leaving England just to come to a place full of English.
So, what do we have, ladies? Coffee and gâteau?
Oh, if I have to eat another horrid French gâteau, I'll be sick.
Violet?
Please.
Gus, why is everything horrid to you, Cora?
It isn't.
I adore Paris, but you made us leave.
If you're determined to be discontented, it matters very little which way we go or where. Garçon?
J'arrive. Monsieur.
Deux cafés et le menu, s'il vous plaît.
Bien sûr.
Well, wherever we go, I want to do it in our own carriage from now on. I'm sick of smoky trains.
Well, I suppose we could send for it.
And Dandy and Flirt to pull it.
Your horses wouldn't bear the sea journey.
Well, we could fly them here.
On earth do you mean?
By balloon.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
It isn't me who's being ridiculous.
We're not flying horses across the channel tied underneath balloons. Could you pass me the bread, please, Violet?
Of course.
Can we go to the hotel casino?
Of course not. And if I'd known it had one, I wouldn't have stayed here.
Oh, how much bread do you think will be eaten every day by female workers in Nice, Violet?
Cora, please.
Oh, have I said something wrong?
Could I have a word?
Why?
Because I asked. Please excuse us, Violet. I know you're unhappy, Cora, but please take out your unhappiness on me and not our guest. She has her own unhappiness, so why discomfort her?
Discomfort her? No one scolds her. Nobody tells her that she's a child or stops her going to casinos. Oh, but she never does anything wicked, so she's never punished, unlike me.
Where are you going?
I feel sick.
Violet, could you go with Cora?
Of course. Cora? Cora? Can I come in? Cora, are you ill?
No, I don't know, Violet. I've been sick every morning since we left England.
And yes, I was. And Planty was delighted and concerned.
Oh, this is such wonderful news, Cora.
To a fault.
Oh, the one thing in the world I lack, the one joy I wanted. But you must lie down. Help Cora onto her bed, please, Violet.
Of course.
What, Cora?
I can still lie down without help, thank you, Violet.
We'll get you back to England as soon as possible. I'm getting the hotel doctor back.
I'm with child, Planty, not ill.
Don't let her excite herself, Violet. But if there's anything she asks for, please get it.
Of course.
I'm so happy. I'm so very, 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 very happy.
I think he's happy.
Only because he thinks he's got an heir in here.
Which he has.
Not if it's a girl.
He'd be as happy with a girl.
Would he? Oh, what does it matter? So, let's obey Pallas's instructions, shall we?
And what is your fancy, O fecund princess?
Well, the hotel casino, of course.
What?
Well, I want to put a few francs on the red before I'm all breasts and belly and can barely put one foot in front of the other.
No, Cora.
Well, why not?
It's not respectable.
But I need the excitement before Planty confines me to bed for 9 months.
I absolutely refuse.
Well, then I'll go on my own.
No, wait. Cora, please.
Faites vos jeux, mesdames et messieurs.
Oh, Lord Cora, look at these people. Men gambling without their wives. Wives gambling without their husbands.
Delicious, isn't it?
Oh, no.
What?
Nothing.
What? What are you looking at?
And even now, as I follow Violet's gaze to the handsome man who had been my first love and with whom my younger self had been about to run away only a week before, my dead heart skips a beat.
He's seen you.
He's coming over.
Let's go.
Too late.
It isn't quickly now.
Burke.
Cora.
This is a coincidence.
It isn't. I followed you.
Cora, please, I beg you.
Would you stop pulling at me, Violet? Why did you follow me?
You know why.
Tell me again.
I want you to come away with me.
Cora, for heaven's sake.
Leave that dull politician.
Cora, tell her.
There is nothing she could tell me that would stop me loving her.
Even if I told you I'm having that boring politician's child.
It wouldn't make a difference.
You'd be its stepfather.
Cora, are you mad? This is Burgo Fitzgerald.
I would love him as if it was my own. Leave him, Cora.
There are times when the future hinges on one decision. When what you dream of is suddenly more real than anything reason could predict. When you have decided to leap into the dark with a person you have loved more passionately than anyone else. But then that person makes a wrong move. Or in this case, just says the wrong thing.
He's a fool. He doesn't love you. Do you think he could love a child? He only loves politics. And he would make your child as dull as himself. Come with me, now.
Back upstairs, Cora, now.
No. I need to think.
So I did. Hard. Harder than I had ever thought before.
Don't be browbeaten like a child again, Cora.
I'm not a child anymore. And Planty isn't a fool. And he does love me.
But not as much as me.
I don't know yet. But this is his baby and I have no intention of going anywhere with you. Ever
again.
You don't mean that.
I think she does, Virgo. So go, please. The whole casino is watching.
Violet, you betrayed me. You are betraying me again. I thought we were...
What?
I thought we were at least still friends.
We're much more than friends, Virgo. You know that. But you are wrong and Cora is right. So for God's sake, go.
And go he did. Then Violet led me back to my room. Palliser arrived with the long-suffering doctor, but then, as we wait overnight to get a train to the Channel, I can't sleep thinking of my child and Virgo. So, at 4 a.m, I leave Palliser snoring contentedly, wake Violet, and demand that she come with me to the beach to watch the dark fade and a new day begin. And where? I press her on something that puzzles me.
Violet, when you said to Virgo that you and he were much more than friends, what did you mean?
I've known him since we were little.
Yes, but...
I know him better than I know myself.
Meaning?
All his faults, his failings, everything stupid he has ever done. And that is a long list, believe me.
And a lot of reasons not to be friends.
We love people for their good qualities, not their failings. Virgo is honest with himself. He never lies. He is bold and brave and loyal.
And you still love him.
I never stopped loving him, Cora. I just couldn't marry him.
What's that?
I fear I may have just invoked the devil.
What?
Stay there.
For heaven's sake, Virgo.
Oh, Violet.
Yes, it's me, you silly, silly man.
Violet? Who is it?
Oh, oh. I asked you to stay awake, Cora. But since you didn't, you can help me get him up.
What? No, he's covered in...
Oh. Spent all my money and threw me out of the hotel.
We can't leave him. Why not?
Drank too much. Sorry.
Oh, he's disgusting.
Help me.
No. Oh.
I have to do it on my own, won't I? Come on, Virgo.
No, leave me. Leave me here. I want to die.
Finn, you could have been killed.
But here I am, Marie.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Shall I pour the tea, Mum?
Are you certain you aren't injured?
Absolutely.
Stand up.
Why?
I want to check. You can leave us now.
Yes, Mum.
I know I'm being silly, but I saw friends die in 48. Does that hurt?
No.
Or that?
I think you'll find me completely intact.
My God! Only just?
What do you mean?
I think you will find that is a bullet hole in your jacket.
Good Lord.
A few inches further left and we would be mourning. I hope the police have got this madman.
The PM asked me not to report it.
Why?
Bad for the party. He's resigned and we're saying it's because of his wife. The disgrace and so forth.
And where is he now?
Locked away at home, apparently. Won't speak to anyone, including the doctor we sent. So, I'm thinking of trying myself.
No, Finn.
I feel responsible.
For what?
I didn't quite behave as I should have done.
When?
With his wife.
You told me Violet was never your mistress.
She wasn't.
But?
It was more than a friendship.
And still is?
I don't think so.
But you would still like it to be? Because she could certainly get a divorce now, you know.
How?
Insanity. And... if she does, what then?
I don't know.
The Duke has arrived, ma'am.
Oh, good. Please send him in. Myself and Mr. Finn are finished. Goodbye, Phineas.
Which Duke?
The Duke of Omnium. He's my newest friend. Do you know him?
I know he's Palliser's uncle and impossibly wealthy.
And highly regarded, I think, as a sort of symbol of your ancient aristocracy.
Which is just as well, given his lack of actual achievement. Palliser will make a better job of it when he inherits.
If he inherits.
I understand the Duke has no immediate heirs.
But if he married again?
He's 80 if he's a day.
75, as a matter of fact, and remarkably fit for his age.
The Duke of Omnium, Mum.
Oh, my dear Duke, I'm so glad you came again.
My dear Marie, the pleasure is all mine.
Mr. Finn was just leaving.
Was I? Yes, I suppose I was.
Goodbye, Your Grace.
Goodbye, Mr. Fan.
Finn. Shall we meet again soon, madame?
That rather depends on you, Mr. Fan.
You would like me to...
provide financial assistance.
To the man who tried to take you away from me?
Yes.
Why?
He's got no money and I want him to go away.
His presence here upsets you?
No, but it upsets Violet.
If he really has been thrown out of his hotel, I think the local police will make him go away soon enough.
Violet wouldn't like that, and to be honest, neither would I.
Why?
I feel responsible.
For him?
Maybe I led him on.
The age and experience difference suggests the opposite.
All the same, I'd be grateful if you would. For me. Please. So we can put the past properly behind us.
Very well.
Oh, Planty, that is so generous.
But I'm not a fool. He'll sign a legally binding agreement to keep away from you forever. Or I take my money back, and if he's already spent it, I'll make sure he goes to a debtor's prison.
Berger, what have we done to you?
What have we done to him?
I could have saved him.
What on earth from?
Himself.
You turned him down 3 times, Violet.
Like St. Peter and our Saviour.
No, like a sensible woman. Now listen. Pallas has agreed to pay his debts, his fare home and 6 months' rent on the lodgings he used to share with Finn. But...
How did you persuade him?
I'm carrying his heir.
He's truly a good man, you know, Cora.
Oh, I know.
So do you think you'll be a little kinder to him in future?
Oh, look, I'm hopeless, my lord.
My dear madam, you're not holding the marriage properly. Let me show you. If I may stand behind you, like this, and put my arms around you so that I can demonstrate. Both hands around the mallet, then swing back between your skirts, just so far, with me, right, and hit. See?
Thank you, Duke. I think I have it now, so perhaps you might let me go?
If you agree to come with me to Lake Como.
I would love to.
I have a villa.
And the other guests?
No other guests.
Then I shall have to refuse. Now, please let go, Your Grace.
Of course. Why do you have to refuse?
Because the world would consider me your mistress, and I have never been anyone's mistress.
Then perhaps one day you will come as my...
Shall we go in and get your servants to bring us cooling drinks? What is it?
Check at the gate there.
I can't.
He's gone. Saw me looking. Looked like the Irish fellow who was at your house the other day. Fan. Fun. Mr. Finn, sir.
What the hell do you want, Sloane?
I bought up the Banner, and I'm planning to buy more papers.
Why do you think that would interest me?
I thought we might be more cooperative. For example, are you going to Kennedy's just now?
Why do you ask?
You're on his street, and I hear he's not well.
Either way, it's none of your business.
A little bird also told me he tried to kill you.
Print that and the government would close you down permanently. And where would your would-be empire be then?
That would be a yes, then.
Kennedy? It's Finn!
He hasn't been out of his study for a week, sir. But he's locked on the inside.
Kennedy, are you sick?
He was eating food in there, but for the last 2 days he hasn't taken in what cooked leaves.
Kennedy, if you don't open up, I'm going to have the door broken down. Do you hear me? Kennedy!
Oh!
Sweet Jesus, what was that?
Why is she so upset, Cora? She never loved Kennedy.
Well, you'll never understand women, will you, Planty?
Well, clearly needs some assistance.
She's crying because she feels guilty.
Guilty for what? He treated her abominably.
She's guilty because she feels relieved. He can't control her any longer and there's no need to divorce a dead man, is there?
But...
Oh, stop it, Planty. Focus on things you can understand. For example, Kennedy was Foreign Secretary. You had it in your hands and gave it up for me, but now is your chance to get it back.
I'd rather not think about that just now.
Also don't. But we need to get you back to England quickly before somebody else stakes a claim.
No. If Gresham offers it me, all well and good. But
then it's fortunate there's another reason we have to return.
Finn's letter wasn't just about Kennedy.
Wasn't it?
The Duke of Omnium and the Gerstler woman?
If I had a pound for every woman my uncle made advances to...
Oh, but this one is 36 and has no children yet.
And the Duke has more bastards scattered about the country than the Queen has bishops. So why would he marry this woman for hers?
Because she isn't one of his simpering empty heads. She's clever and experienced as well as beautiful, and the Duke's getting old. What if she makes marriage a condition of getting his hands on her and they have a child? That child will rob you and our child of his inheritance.
You really think that
I know
you...
it.
Then we must stop it.
Yes. But you focus on the Foreign Office. Leave the difficult things to me.
Oh.
Including Violet. Violet, stop it. Kennedy was a brute, and you're free to marry sensibly now.
I know. Oh.
So, let's consider your options. There are three. One, stay single. Go back to your father, rule his roost again, and resume your political interests.
Oh, no, that's over. Who would take me seriously?
Very well. Two, Finn's already a junior minister, and with Kennedy out of the way and Palliser back at the FO, he's set to rise further, and he's available.
That German woman had him in her sights before we left. I can't think she's been treading water since.
Oh, she's looking elsewhere.
Where?
Doesn't matter, she is, trust me. So why not Finn?
Because...
Yes?
He switches between women like post horses. Me, the Gerstler woman, some poor Irish girl he rarely speaks of, but she's undoubtedly pining for him back in Cork. How many more has he wiped off his heart with a damp cloth?
But then the only other option is Burgo. You're not seriously considering him.
I need time to think.
Well, thank God there isn't any.
Why?
Oh, we're going home today. Start packing.
Burgo! Oh, for God's sake! Burgo! Now listen. He's dead.
And I'm soaked. Who's dead?
Kennedy, my husband. Shot himself.
Good God, why?
It doesn't matter. I need to know things quickly. So you need to clear your head and wake up properly. There. Splash your face. Could you give up drink?
What?
You heard. And gambling?
I suppose it's possible, why?
And women?
What? Completely.
Goodbye,
Burgo. No, but I could if I had the right one already.
And could you apologise to your father?
No, the man's a monster.
But if you did, he might reinstate your inheritance, yes?
Or not. Why are you asking me all this?
Because Kennedy got my money when I married him, and he'll have left it to God knows who. The Kirk, probably. Certainly not me. And I refuse to be poor again, following spoilt brats like Cora around the continent. So could you, yes or no?
Violet, I thought my life was over. And
hands off. Yes or no?
Yes. I can give up drink and gambling and other women. So
keep away. I've not decided anything yet. I've got more conditions.
And so we returned. And while I carefully surveyed the social ground upon which I intended to do battle royal with Madame Gerstler for the future of my husband and my unborn child, Palliser replaced Kennedy at the FO.
Phineas Finn, how's the Colonial Office? Are they treating you well?
Yes, sir.
No need to serve me in private. I hear you have a plan to stop Canada going over to the Yanks.
I think so, Planty.
Plantagenet will do nicely. A railway, I believe.
From Halifax in Nova Scotia to the foot of the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, the PM mentioned it.
And to the Pacific, eventually. To bind the country together and put pounds in the pockets of all those greedy men who yearn for Yankee dollars.
And all we have to do is prize the cash out of the cabinet. But leave that to us. You've got another job.
As well as?
Instead of.
I've only just got up to scratch on Canada.
Well, that's government for you, I'm afraid. And it'll give you more experience, which is what a rising chap like yourself needs.
May I ask what it is?
Ireland.
Oh.
Specifically, land rights.
Why?
Well, my reform bill didn't get through the Lords, so Gresham thinks we need another eye-catcher to justify our existence. And since we have the Nationalists snapping at our seats over there, and something needs to be done on principle, why not? At any rate, we need someone to do the parliamentary legwork, so I thought of you.
Because I'm Irish?
Well, it has to help.
I'm a city boy. Know as much about Irish peasants as I did about the Hurons before I was given Canada.
And I feel strongly that we should pass laws when they're needed rather than when it's expedient. But I'm not the PM, so I do as I'm told. Monk's your man for Ireland, though. He's at the post office to keep him out of trouble, but he knows the Irish land is due backwards. I'll tell him to get in touch. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. Has Violet written to you since we came back?
No.
Oh, so you'll not know about her betrothal?
No. Who to?
Your old pal, Burgo Fitzgerald.
Mum, it's the Duke of Omnium again. I'm sorry, but he wouldn't wait
for me. Marie. Would you deny me if I asked?
That would rather depend on what it is you're asking, Your Grace. It's all right, Maisie, you can go.
For the greatest gift of all.
I'm not very good at riddles.
Then I shall go down before you to make it crystal clear.
Be careful. Your knees. My floor is hard and...
I love you, Marie. Why I should feel such a love at my age, I cannot say. But I ask you now to be my wife.
Ma'am, someone else is refusing.
I'm not
wait.
Someone else, girl. I'm Lady Palliser. And good Lord, but what are you doing down there, Buffy?
The Duke was picking up something I dropped. Weren't you, Your Grace?
What? Yes, Cora, I was. Could somebody... Help me up.
Now, up you come.
Need assistance, madame?
No. Xavier.
How extraordinary is it you came just when His Grace was here, Lady Cora.
I was passing by and saw his carriage.
And how is my nephew, my dear?
At the Foreign Office at last, and therefore happy as a sandboy.
And our heir? Oh,
would you like to feel him?
Oh, may I?
Of course.
Are you certain it will be a boy, milady?
Oh, with every fibre of my being. Don't be shy, Buffy. Press. Plandy wants to call him Silverbridge.
Damn strange name for a baby.
After his old constituency.
Still a damn strange name. I can't feel a thing.
Move your palm a little to the right. Do you have children, madame?
No, milady.
Still nothing? But you would like them.
Possibly.
There. Can you feel him now?
I can, I think.
Excellent. Now be a good duke and get me a glass of water, Buffy.
Anything for the mother of the next duke but one.
And if you could have children, madame, which is of course not certain in a woman of your years, how would you feel if they were disinherited by an ageing gold digger?
Which rather put her in her place, I thought, at the time. Meanwhile, poor Phineas, his ballooning affection for Madame Goesler had been sadly pricked by the Duke of Omnium, whereupon he turned his hot air basket of desperate hope back in the direction of the newly available Violet, only for it to plummet onto the rocks of her betrothal to Burgo. So he is now in the nearest hostelry, contemplating Ireland and the girl he left behind.
Phineas Finn, I believe.
Monk, pull up a chair.
Her Majesty's tolerated radical at your service. Palliser said you wanted to meet. When I called at your lodgings, you weren't there. So I thought I'd have a jar or two myself, and eh, presto, here you are.
Palliser said you could brief me.
Did he tell you what kind of a bill the PM was after putting forward?
No.
I thought so. Look, if you want a briefing, there's somewhere a whole lot better than an English pub.
Where?
The old country. Come with me, see for yourself. And while you're at it, you can look up the sweetheart you left behind.
How did you know?
We all do. I'm going on Thursday, which leaves plenty of time for a few more of these lads.
Dear Phineas, I think it right to let you know that the Duke of Omnium wishes to make me his Duchess.
Surprise, surprise.
Phineas!
Yes, Ma?
You have a visitor.
Just reading the post. Down in 2 minutes.
I feel the need to explain myself. When I came to this country, I was treated badly, being a single woman and a foreigner with a Jewish name. So, I admit I am tempted by the social power the Duchess of Omnium could wield over my old persecutors. But, in truth, I am no longer young. My time for bearing children is limited, and the Duke is still a man. That said, I remain free to give myself to someone more agreeable than an old Duke, if only I could find the right person.
Phineas!
Mary!
I'm sorry. Your mother sent me up. Shall I go?
No. Stay, please.
Are you sure about that?
Certain. I was beginning to think you were avoiding me.
Not exactly.
We used to be such friends.
Oh, that was before you became a great man.
I'm a junior minister.
But you know so many fine people in London.
And none of them means more to me than you.
Now, Phineas Finn, myself and all the other good people watching you invisibly are wondering if that is entirely true.
Who was the letter from?
Letter?
The one you scrumpled up when I came in.
Oh, that. No one. I mean, someone, obviously, but not... not anyone important. Sure. Now, it's a grand day. Shall we go for a walk?
Oh, you'd have to come with me on my rounds.
Rounds?
Of the poor folk. I've got food for them, but the basket's heavy, so you can carry it if you would.
I will so.
Then let's go.
It's a very fine castle, Violet, but why on earth do you want one?
It's the 150 acres of prime hunting land we want.
Well, can you afford it?
Now Burgo is reconciled with his father, yes. Just. In any case, it was one of my conditions.
That he buys you a castle.
That he find gainful employment. And since the only thing Burgo knows anything about, apart from gambling and women, is hunting, and I refuse to run a casino or a...
You could fit a dozen thoroughbreds in there, Violet, and still have space for... Oh, Cora, Sorry, I'll leave.
No, Burgo, stay.
But I signed a contract with Palliser.
Do you think Planty gives two hoots about that now you're marrying Violet and you've paid the money off he lent you?
I suppose not.
Huh. Cora has offered the chapel at their country estate for our wedding.
Oh, it's very generous.
On one condition?
Conditions are clearly in fashion.
That you let me organise it.
Of course. If Violet is happy with it.
I am. So... have you decided on your best man?
No.
I know who you would like.
Who?
Phineas Finn.
We didn't part on good terms after the ball.
Biffle, I'll write to him for you.
No. No, I'll do it.
Your mammy's not well and needs a little rest. My friend is after asking you a question now, Seamus.
Am I?
Yes. Shh, lovely. Would that be all right?
You'd be welcome. What question?
It'd be about your land, Seamus. Mm. Off you go, Phineas.
Yes, right. Mr. Fogarty.
That'll be Seamus, your lordship. Any friend of your lady there is a friend of mine.
Good. And I'm not a lord, so plain Mr. Finn would be fine. Right. If we passed a bill in the London Parliament that gave you more rights to your land, what would you say?
Now, what would you be meaning by rights, sir?
To stop it being sold under you. So you knew you would have it long enough to make improvements.
Oh, sounds grand, sir. But,
yes?
Would I still be after having to pay rent to the grandfellas over the water that we never see from one year to the next?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, I'm thinking no, sir. No. Thank you all the same.
God, Mary. I've never seen such poverty.
You always had your head in a book when you were here.
Well, something needs to be done. But...
what?
Why don't they understand?
They understand very well, Phineas. They want to own the land they work, not rent it.
Well, we have to start somewhere.
And where exactly would that be?
Monks invited me to a meeting in Bantry.
And you'd be going?
I'm not sure.
Why not?
Because I'm in the government and the Foreign Secretary, Palliser... I think I mentioned him in my letters.
Letter? Would he be the one who's married to the flighty piece?
Well, I don't think I quite describe Lady Cora.
What about him anyway?
I doubt he would want me attending.
Why not?
It would seem like the government approved whatever is said.
Have you already forgotten what you saw in the wee hovel?
No. But it's a question of collective responsibility.
Our collective responsibility is to justice, humanity and God, Phineas. I'm sorry. I sound like the Pope. But look... no one need know. Could you not stand at the back with a false beard?
I could.
And it's not so far away, so maybe I could come too. We could stay with my sister, and Mr. Monk would make a fine chaperone.
Dear Burgo, I will, of course, be your best man. Thanks also for your characteristically forthright query about my love life. It's as tangled and indecisive as ever. Although, by marrying Violet... you have taken out at least one element from the volatile equation, thank God.
Phineas, we're going to miss the Bantry coach.
2 minutes, Mary. People say no one can be in love with two women at the same time. But if I am not in love with Mary Flood,
Why do I want to take her in my arms and swear that she is dearer to me than all the world? And if I am not strongly drawn to Marie Guzler, despite her dalliance with that old fool, the Duke of Omnium, why do I think of her all the time and daydream about rushing back across the water to establish one wife in London while maintaining another in Cork? You will therefore not be surprised to hear that the ghost of Catholic guilt is now haunting me again.
Phineas!
Coming!
Your bog-trotting but very perplexed friend, Finn.
It's not independence we want. Not yet, at any rate. And it's certainly not violence we're after. It's land. Our own land to own and improve. The crops fail every time there's bad weather and there's constant risk of famine. So is it any wonder that our people turn to the Fenians, who exploit their suffering to provoke violence, which the government represses violently, which only provokes more violence. Give us our land and stop the bloody merry-go-round.
Would you not say he's right, Phineas?
I think I would, Mary.
So will you be backing him when you go back to London?
I pledge here and now to resign my ministerial position and bring forward a bill of my own if the government's bill does not completely free our oppressed Irish tenancy from parasitic landlords. But for now, thank you all, and good night.
That was a wonderful speech.
Thank you kindly, Finn.
It was grand, so it was.
I think I know, but I'd like to say a few words myself.
Is that wise?
Why not?
What do you plan to say?
I'll leave it to inspiration.
And so Finn climbs onto the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, your further attention, please.
Knowing he is about to let his heart rule his head yet again, I whisper in his ear, "No, Finn, wait, think, don't rush in." But to him, it's no more than the buzz of a fly, to be batted away before he speaks.
I've seen how our people are living, constantly at risk of starvation. And in London, I see how our criminally neglectful landlords live in wealth that beggars the imagination. So how could I, as a true Irish patriot, not endorse every word my friend Monk has said on this platform today?
My in first, coachman, and then to Miss Flood's relatives.
Are you not pleased that Phineas spoke up in support of you, Mr. Monk?
A little surprised that he went so far.
Why not as far as you, sir?
Because I planned my words in advance, and you clearly didn't.
If you didn't want my support, then why did you invite me?
I want your support, behind the scenes, as a minister.
So, is Phineas in trouble?
Not if Palliser backs me and persuades the PM to support a full-bodied land ownership bill. But if he won't, or he can't, then Finn will have to resign office if he wants to vote for anything I put forward. Would you want to do that?
I hadn't really thought.
Exactly. I have private means for when I'm out of office. Have you?
Not as such.
Yeah. So, you need to know this. I don't think Palliser will back my proposal, still less the PM. And without them, it hasn't a cat in hell's chance of getting past those parasites in the House of Landlords.
Then why the meeting? Why even try?
To put it on the agenda, so it has a better chance next time. And this, I think, is me. I'll see you in London, Finn.
Goodbye, Mary. Everyone? Yeah. What would you think if I had to resign, Mary?
You would lose your salary.
MPs aren't paid. So, yes.
Well, it wouldn't be good, I'm thinking.
Would you have me go back on what I said at the meeting?
No. But I'll support you, whatever you decide.
Even if I told you...
What? Say it.
Everything I've been doing in London.
We're not betrothed, Phineas.
Everyone thinks we should be.
But a betrothal requires one to ask and another to say yes. So there we are.
Mary.
Yes?
Will you marry me? Mary?
What do you think?
And while Finn finally commits to one lover, his other paramour comes calling on me.
Oh,
Madame Gerstler, I gave strict instructions. I was not at home.
And I have taken the liberty of ignoring that. I just want to clear things up.
For pity's sake, I'm nearly full term. I'm very tired.
I'm sorry, but I have something important to say.
God, you've such a cheek. It's almost admirable. You cousin a silly old fool into proposing.
I didn't cousin.
So that you can have a child that will disinherit mine.
You were one of the few society ladies who treated me well when I first arrived here.
So this is my reward.
I will not be taking the decision lightly.
No, you are weighing every pound of gold in his bank.
Lady Cora, are you in pain?
Oh, obviously. Oh, God, I think it's coming. Oh, call the doctor quickly.
I'm going.
Oh, no. And call my husband too. Oh!
What on earth were you thinking of, Finn?
I didn't think a speech in a tiny hall in Bantry would be reported outside, well, Bantry.
It's the 1860s, dear boy. Haven't you heard of telegraph lines? It was in the People's Banner the next day. That snake slide clearly has an informant in West Cork as well as everywhere else. And the Times and the Chronicle and all the rest picked it up today.
But we're committed to an Irish land bill.
Not to one that dispossesses every single absentee landlord in Parliament.
I was speaking only for myself.
Oh, my dear boy, you can't speak for yourself. Not if you want to remain a minister. And not if any government is to stay in power for longer than 5 minutes. I recommended you for this job, Finn. So you've not only destroyed my faith in you, you've undermined the PM's faith in me.
Are you sacking me, sir?
That depends on the PM and you. So if Monk's land ownership proposal comes to a vote, you don't support it.
But everybody knows that I do.
Just as they did with the Reform Bill amendment you sensibly changed your mind on. Which is why you're a minister now. So change it again on this. But take a warning. You can't keep doing this. Once is callow, twice is undesirable, 3 times suggests you're utterly unreliable. What is it?
A message from a Madame Gerstler, sir.
Can't it wait?
It's about your wife, sir.
What about her?
She's in labour.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, dear Lord. Coat.
Here, sir.
Hat. Where in heaven's name did I put it?
On the hat stand.
Right, good. I'm going. We can continue this discussion some later date.
That's the broom cupboard, sir.
Oh, God. Where's the bloody doorman?
Here. Shall I come with you, sir?
Yes. I think you'd better. Come on.
It's a boy. Lovely, lovely boy.
Give him to me?
Yeah.
Oh, my bonny boy. My bonny, bonny boy. You've made it all right for me, haven't you? If only you live. He looks like living, doesn't he?
He looks very healthy, Cora.
Oh, I'm so quick. I don't know what I would have done without you.
I'm here. Where? Oh. What happened?
You have a son.
What? Where?
Here. Oh. He's tiny. Come and look.
I'm out of my senses with worry. If it hadn't been for Finn out there.
Shh. Just take him.
Oh. Yes. Oh. Yes. Okay. Yes, of course.
I'll leave you two alone.
Oh.
I'm having difficulty believing I did that.
What?
Delivered her baby.
Really? You?
I mean, have you done that sort of thing before?
No, but the only servants were slips of girls and a butler, and now I feel rather faint.
Oh, here, let me steady you.
I think I'm going to... Oh, thank you. I'm sorry.
Sorry? You deserve a medal.
Everything went black for a second. It's going now.
Shall I continue to hold you?
Yes, please, just in case...
Of course.
I feel almost normal now. Except...
What?
An overwhelming sense of how little time I have.
You have the whole of your life.
To bear a child?
Oh, I see.
But after that, in there, I can't do it to her.
Do what?
Accept the Duke's proposal of marriage?
I can't believe you were even...
I need to sit down. Can you take me into that room?
Of course. This way.
How was Ireland?
Oh, I made an ass of myself. Again.
I doubt that.
Oh, but I did. I made a speech committing myself to radical land reform, and now I have to say I didn't mean it or resign from the government.
Then say it.
I saw the conditions people were living in, so I'm not so sure if I can.
You can't help them if you're not in power.
I keep hearing that, but when you're in power, you have to toe the line.
Then don't say it. Resign. There are women, people, who think the man is more important than the power.
Yes, I know one.
Who would stand by you even if you were never in government again.
But I can't afford to sit on the backbenches unpaid. I'd have to leave Parliament entirely.
Then use my fortune.
Sorry?
To pay for your principles and accept me as your loyal advisor for life.
I'm not sure I understand.
Marry me, Phineas. There, I've said it. I am now more exposed than most women are ever prepared to be. But the prize is worth it. I'm no longer young, and I want you and a sweet baby of my own.
Oh, I...
If it's no, say no.
No. No, I mean, it's not no. It's just...
Not yes.
I need a little time. There are other factors. I'm not entirely free.
Then I'd better leave.
Oh, Marie, please. Wait. Ah, damn. Ah, damn, damn, damn.
So, O'Finn, if you can forget your personal problems for just a second, have you remembered the ring?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, here. But seriously, Burgo, what would you do? Look, you pusillanimous Paddy, it's simple. Marry the handsomest middle-aged woman in London and net her fortune, or lose your job and marry some impoverished Colleen who'll give you a dozen brats before you can say Daniel O'Connell.
Well, we think it's sweet, don't we, Planty?
Not if we lose a good minister.
It's not just the girl, is it, Phineas?
It's a matter of principle.
Oh, hell's teeth, man, don't stick to those. They'd be like a wasp in a jam pot.
Oh? And that, my dear Burgo, is your cue to enter. Finn can decide his fate later. It's time to seal yours now.
And so, having failed in one marriage to Robert Kennedy, Violet tries again with Burgo Fitzgerald, only to discover that true love can go wrong just as quickly as the untrue variety. But that's another story. Just now, come and watch Phineas Finn making what we thought was an even bigger mistake than Violet marrying Burgo Fitzgerald.
Finn? Finn, wait. Before you go into the chamber...
I've made up my mind, Palliser.
Well, think again. I've done the figures. Monk's amendment won't pass, and he knows it.
I know.
You know?
He told me.
Then why in heaven's name...
He's putting up a marker for the future.
Not him, you! Why are you doing this? Why are you killing your career for an utterly futile gesture?
You gave up the Foreign Office for Cora.
Are you seriously suggesting that there is any similarity between that and this? I'd already been a reliable minister for a decade, and you're going to prove yourself an unreliable one in a few months.
You're right. Now I think about it.
Good. Sense at last.
There's no similarity at all. Because I'm sacrificing myself for my country, whereas you did it for a mere girl.
What? My God, sir, your impertinence on...
Now, if you don't mind, the debate has started, and I intend to speak.
Oh, no. Not after that, not yet. My father would have shot you for less than that, but I merely require you to listen, and listen you will. What do you want to change, Phineas? I mean, apart from land rights in Ireland.
Oh, it's a long list, sir.
Good, so is mine. What's on yours? Go on.
I'd like to see less poverty.
So would I. A lot less. Is that it?
We need to educate our people.
Couldn't agree more. Do continue.
All men and all women should have the right to vote.
Yes. And the only way of getting all that is by the careful and persistent exercise of power. By compromising oneself. By staying in place, ready for the next step forward. Not by running away from that essential job whilst pretending to defend a principle.
I am not pretending, sir. Now, if you will allow me to pass, I intend to speak.
The Honourable Member for Millridge.
For my sake, Finn, don't make it impossible for me to ever help you again.
Does the Honourable Member intend to speak?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Think, Finn. Think very hard.
Mr. Speaker, I have thought long and hard about this matter, and I have come to a difficult decision, which is Mr. Monk's amendments to the Irish Tenants' Bill could avert violence and bloodshed in Ireland that will otherwise stain our joint history for decades to come, if not a century or more. But without it, thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people will die. Women will die. Children. And not just the Irish. British soldiers will die. Perhaps even British viceroys. And the violence will eventually cross the water. I therefore must support the amendment and therefore resign from government.
And he did. But when Monk's amendment was rejected, Finn resigned his parliamentary seat as well and retreated to Ireland, turning his back on his political dreams, his salary, and Marie Goesler's fortune, not to mention her comely, if somewhat mature, person. But he does gain sweet love and contentment. For a time.
In the palaces, Cora was Jessica Raine, Plantagenet Tim McMullen, and Finn Edward McLeam. Burgo was Blake Ritson, Violet Scarlett Courtney, Marie Melody Grove, Kennedy Neil McCall, and Finn's mother, Heather Craney. The Palaces was dramatised by Mike Harris, based on the novels by Anthony Trollope. It was a BBC Radio Drama North production, directed by Gary Brown.